All right, let's get right into this. At the beginning of the pandemic, we heard a lot about flattening the curve, and a lot of areas seem to have done that, the D.C. region in particular. So the big question becomes, now what? Can we start changing our behaviors again to some of those things we did before the pandemic?
Well, my guidance is to very strongly recommend that we stay by the guidelines of avoiding transmission and acquisition, which is universal wearing of masks, avoiding crowds, keeping distances, 6-foot rule, doing things outdoors much more than indoors, and washing your hands. You know, we've flattened the curve, but the country is in a situation where we're having about 40 to 45,000 new infections each day. That's not a very good place to be as you're entering into the fall and winter months, where more things will be done indoors versus outdoors. I would have hoped that we would have been in a position where our baseline of daily infections would have been much lower. So we've got to do better than we're doing. It is true, as you said, that some areas of the country, such as the DC metropolitan area, are doing relatively well. We've done well. We've abided by the guidelines for the most part. But if you look throughout the country, there are vulnerable areas where we're starting to see an uptick in test positivity in the Midwest, in the Northwest, and in some of the regions that had not originally been hit hard. We've got to make sure that we do not get surges in those areas, or it'll make it much more difficult as we enter into the cooler fall and colder winter months.
Wanted to ask you, too, about some of the now misconceptions about the coronavirus. Of course, when we first started out, we didn't know a lot about it. We're starting to learn more about it. Can people start changing some of those activities when it comes to wiping down groceries, that sort of thing? You saw a lot of that in the beginning. From what we've learned, what is your guidance now for folks?
Well, I think you bring up a good point because, you know, this is a learning and has been a learning process. This has evolved from very early on when we got cases here from February, March, and then into the hot times of May, of April, May, June, and then the resurgences in the summer. What we've learned are a few things. One of the things that's important is that about 40 to 45% of people who are infected don't have any symptoms, and that there's a considerable degree of transmission from people without symptoms to people who are uninfected, which makes it much more compelling to wear masks and facial covering because you do not know generally if you are infected or if someone else is infected. But to your original question, things like surfaces, although theoretically one can transmit by touching a surface, we're starting to realize now fully that the overwhelming majority of the infections are transmitted from person to person by the respiratory route. Although you can, if you touch a surface that has recently had virus on it and then touch your nose or your mouth, you can be infected. But that is by no means the major way that this virus is transmitted.
All right. When it comes to a vaccine, to get an update from you on that, from what you know now, where are we with one and when can one be widely available?
Well, first of all, you have to prove that it's safe and effective. So there are multiple candidates. We're supporting. The federal government is actively supporting a group of them, 5 or 6 candidates. There are now several of them in advanced clinical trial. And we should anticipate, and I think with some cautious optimism, that we will know whether a vaccine is safe or effective by November or December. It could be earlier. It could possibly be October. That's unlikely. I think it more likely will be November or December, and that investments have been made into manufacturing doses even before you know that it definitely works, so that if things work out the way we think and hope they'll work out by November and December, we should have doses available to distribute to people who are in the higher risk categories sometime by the end of this year, the beginning of calendar year 2021. So again, there's never a guarantee, but things are looking good for a vaccine as we get to the end of the year, the beginning of next year.
And a final question for schools. Obviously, the big debate is when can you bring kids back into the classroom? We see these plans of masks on and spacing seats apart so there's social distancing in play. What are your thoughts about returning kids to the classroom and can it be done safely?
I think it's important to point out that we live in a large country that's very heterogeneous with regard to the level of virus infections that are ongoing in the community. So if you look at how we rate the different zones in the country, there's dark green, which is really very good, very low level, green, yellow, orange, and red. So if you're in an area with a low level of infection, you can generally get the kids back to school with, you know, from a public health standpoint, some degree of impunity, as long as you have a plan of how to deal with it if children get infected. But for the most part, simple care things like wearing masks. If you're in an area where there's ongoing active infection, you may need to do things a little bit more prescribed, such as, you know, indoor versus outdoor class, keeping windows open to make sure there's good circulation, wearing masks, keeping desks spaced further than you usually would if this is feasible. It's not always feasible in a school. Maybe alternating the schedule, having some kids on one day, some kids on another day, doing a hybrid, some online virtual learning, other in-person learning. You've got to have a not one size does not fit all. It depends on where you are and the level of infection in your community. The ultimate goal is to get the children back to school, that's for sure. But you want to make sure you don't compromise the health, safety, and welfare of the children, as well as of the teachers and the people who come into contact with them.